We've said nearly every time that Judges 11 has been almost an extension of Hebrews 11, where we've been considering some of those heroes of the faith. The writer to the letter of the church of the Hebrews that gathered there was, you know, was so enthused by all of these great men of the faith, and he just wanted to say, listen, they all lived by faith. They were believing for the one day the promise of the Messiah, and now that the Messiah has come, that same promise is ours as well. There was no different way of salvation that they had, you know. There was no salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament and salvation for in between as well. It is only through the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that anybody can be saved. And those heroes of the faith, the writer to the letter couldn't list them all because he just had to finish the letter. And he would have gone through them all, but he said, what would I speak of Daniel, of Samuel, of David, and Jephthah's mentioned there as well. He's one of those heroes of the faith. So what is it that we can learn from this passage tonight? Well, the important key thing for us to learn is simply that good, godly men, just like we said about the man, John Calvin, is that sometimes good, godly men who have been selected by God and greatly used by God can make some very bad and stupid decisions later in life if they stop carefully focusing on God's word. Now, maybe I was a bit naughty there when I actually said later in life, because us young'uns can do it as well. It's not dependent on age in any way. It's dependent upon whether we take our eyes off him. This passage is a warning to every believer, including and maybe especially those who have been used more of God. We need to stay focused on understanding God's written word until the end of our lives, or we can get sidetracked into doing and believing some pretty bizarre things. You've seen it. Have you seen it? I know I have. In my short walk with the Lord, I've seen some mighty men of God get into some dodgy stuff in the end of their days because they've just lost their focus. The truth is, some of the greatest problems people have in their lives are due to the fact that they are ignorant of God's word. So they make ridiculous decisions. People are so easily led away by false teaching because they don't know the truth for themselves. You know, I've said it before and I'll use it as an illustration often, and I think it's a brilliant illustration. But if I said to you that if this was a pure water of 100% H2O, would you drink it? You would. If I said it was 99% water and one bit arsenic, would you drink it? And that's the danger, is so much of false teaching today is mixed up with so much truth. But there's that percentage that is in there that will deceive even the elect. And that's why we need to have hearts which understand and discern and correctly divide the word of God. With this in mind, Judges 11, we turn back to, you can remember the last time God called this ninth judge Jephthah. We saw that Jephthah came from the wrong side of the street. Gilead was known as the city of the wrongdoers. His mother was a prostitute. He was rejected by his father, hated by his own family, even chased away and driven away from any form of security that he might have as being a part of that family. When you see a story like this, you would never dream that God could mysteriously, sovereignly use such an individual. But God did in an incredible way with Jephthah, as we saw last time. You know, God uses people even when from terrible backgrounds to accomplish wonderful things when they simply trust him and his word. And that's what Jephthah did, and we left him there last time. We closed last time with Gaz as Jephthah was trying to use some form of diplomacy and negotiate a peace settlement with the sons of Ammon, but they didn't want it there in verse 28. One of the things of the teaching of the Bible, book by book, means that we can't shy away from scriptures like this. It would have been lovely to have not told this story, but we can't. We've got to, because the Word and the Spirit of God has included it in the canon of Scripture, and it's important. There's something that we need and that we can learn from this tonight. But what does it mean? What do we need to learn? What is the Spirit of God trying to teach us through this? Well, verse 29 says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he headed out to go to war. Can I remind you again that the purpose of the Spirit coming upon his people in the Old Testament was often just to perform a specific task? You know, the first man that was ever filled with the Holy Spirit was a man called Bezalel. And he was gifted, anointed by the Holy Spirit to work with gold and silver for the building of the tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle. Isn't it interesting that the Spirit of God came upon someone to work practically? Often we think so much spiritual things as well, but there's those practical gifts of administration which are spiritually anointed gifts as well. And often we'd see that in Scripture. God would come upon them and use them for a specific task and leave them. Very rarely, maybe in the case of the man, the great King David, where God stayed and rested upon him. Now, this was a Spirit-led man. But also understanding this, that one with the Spirit of God can believe and do some stupid things sometimes. I think every leader should listen to this sort of text. But the truth of the fact is that God, if God anoints you to do a task, you have the strength to do it. Jephthah didn't need anything else. But Jephthah's theology, his understanding of God and how God works was warped. It was wrong in several different areas. The first area we see there is that Jephthah makes an unbiblical vow to the Lord in verse 13-31. Jephthah decided to make this ridiculous vow to the Lord, and it was a reckless vow to make. And it was something that he didn't need to do, and I want to suggest to you as well, it's something that he didn't really think through. He never thought of the consequences of making this promise to God. And the strange thing is that Jephthah did not need to make it at all. Instead, he should have simply trusted God. He didn't need to make a bargain with God. You know, God, if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. What does that remind you of? Jacob? Or even a little bit sooner than I remember, Gideon said it exactly the same thing. Lord, if the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, then I'll know you're with me. Gideon didn't need to do that because Gideon already told him, this is what you will do. Folks, the word of God is enough for us. We don't need anything else. In Deuteronomy 23:21-23, Moses instructs the people concerning vows. He said, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it will not be a sin. You shall be careful to perform what goes out from your lips, just as you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised. In other words, God said to his people, listen, if you make a vow, do it. If you don't have to make a vow, then don't. Just be careful what you say, because God will hold you to it. No one was under any obligation to make a vow. God warned them never to make a vow rashly as well. Proverbs 20:25, it says, it is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after it, inquire of me. In other words, to consecrate something unto the, oh, this is the Lord. You know, we can piously do it sometimes, can't we? No, this is the Lord's. And then jealously hold on to it as if it's ours. God said also in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4-5, that when you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it. For God takes no delight in fools. Pay your vow. It is better that you should pay the vow now than to pay it later. Jephthah decided to make a vow, asking if God would give him victory over the Ammonites. When he gets home, he will offer the first thing that comes out of his house. Do you know, I've looked at all the commentaries on this. Well, meant all the ones I've got and all the ones that were in my viewing. And there's difference of opinions in this. But folks, when you read verse 30 and 31, you cannot get away. But Jephthah was saying, I will make a sacrifice to you. This was a burnt offering sacrifice he was saying he will do. Some commentaries say, oh, no. It was just the fact that, you know, he would keep his daughter and she would never marry and his daughter would remain in his house. Why would he be so heartbroken over that? No, he made a vow to offer a burnt sacrifice. Folks, I don't think we can get away from the text on that, sadly. I wish I could. I wish I could interpret it differently. But I can't. If this is the case, he probably assumed, or maybe wished, that one of those legal sons of Gilead came out, you know, that we read about last week, who wanted him dead. Maybe he hoped and praying that it would be the family dog that would come out first. That would have been better. Not his own daughter. Folks, this is a ridiculous vow that Jephthah was making. The Bible over and over again forbids offering of a human sacrifice to God. Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, Exodus 20, thou shalt not murder. In fact, the scriptures clearly teach that any human sacrifice is an abomination to God. Do you know, those who were living in the land were offering their children in sacrifice, and God was saying, I will destroy them because of their practices. Why would he then find it acceptable for his own people to do it? Why would Jephthah make such a stupid vow? Well, the answer is simply this. He did not know the word of the Lord. He did not know what the Lord required of him. Again, I point out to you that there was no priesthood operating according to the law in these days either. And so there was nobody there either to offer him godly, wise counsel. Jephthah loved the Lord, but he did not know the way. Jephthah had a zeal and a sincerity, but he did not have a knowledge of God's word. You know, can I say this, and I'll say this very, very lovingly tonight, that there are many, many lovely, sincere, passionate believers who get themselves mixed up in some wacky stuff simply because they do not accurately know the Word of God, just like Jephthah did. And one can't doubt their passion, their sincerity of heart. You know, I've had it said to me, could people be saved in that denomination? We won't mention any denominations because we don't want to offend anybody. Could people be saved? I said, yes, of course they can. Because salvation belongs to our God. But I would question why on earth they continue with some of the wacky stuff that goes on. Our own dear brother, Dave Allen, who was, if you cut him through, he was AOG, wasn't he? He himself couldn't remain in his own denomination. A denomination that he'd been used of God to teach. Because others had led them astray. Beryl, is that not right? Can people be saved in these organizations? Yes, of course they can. I question sometimes how they can stay there, though, do you? Remember that period of history in church called the Crusades? 200 years span where the Catholic Church sent out Christian crusaders to the promised land and they killed the Muslims and they killed the Jews and they thought they were doing it in the name of God. And they were not. Jephthah made this stupid vow because he didn't know God's word. But also he lived in a pagan culture that made all kinds of vows and sacrifices, and he was influenced by them more than sadly he was by the Holy Scriptures. Remember in Judges 10 how they worshipped the gods of all the other nations? how they were caught up with the culture of the day. And folks, and I'll say this, and I'll say this lovingly, and you've heard it said on 1,000 occasions, I'm sure, that when the ship is in the water, everything is okay. But as soon as the water is in the ship, that's when things start going wrong. When the church is in the world, when we're being an example to the world and showing the glory of Jesus Christ through what we do, things will be okay. But as soon as the world gets into the church and starts to dictate, and the church begins to be dictated by the culture or by the spirit of the age in which it's trying to reach out into, then that's when we start having the perversion that we see today, sadly, in our, even in our state church. Secondly, God gave Jephthah victory over the Ammonites. Verse 32, verse 33 there. So Jephthah crossed over to the sons of Ammon to fight against them. And it says there that God subdued them in the last part there of Ammon. They were subdued by the whole of the sons of Israel. God gave Jephthah an amazing victory. He destroyed 20 Ammonite-controlled cities. He took back a major amount of the promised land which had been taken from God's people. But it was God who gave him the complete victory. God gave him his spirit, and it was God who gave them the victory in the end. Jephthah never needed to make any vow in order for God to give him victory, because that was already part of God's heart and God's plan. That is why he raised Jephthah up in the first place. In fact, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 32, Jephthah was a faith hero going into battle. It was a sweeping victory that God gave him, and as a result, he's recorded there in Hebrews 11 verse 32. As one of those heroes of the faith. But you know, that victory meant he had to return home. And when he returned home, he had to fulfill the vow that he'd made. Jephthah came back as a hero. And the people were joyful. And the first thing he saw when he came home was his daughter dancing and laughing, excited. Why? Because Dad was home safe. She came out of that house to meet him and greet him. Could you imagine the joy because Dad was home? Could you imagine, maybe, like, I'd love to think about my daughter, you know, if I had a night away, how she would toss and turn until Dad was home safely. But it must have been like that for this young girl, because Dad had gone away for weeks and months on end, battling against the enemies of the gods of Israel. And there he was home. You could imagine the rejoicing, the celebration. And it wasn't one, "Dad, have you brought me anything back?" It was, "Dad, you're back. You're home." This was Jephthah's only child. She was a wonderful daughter. This daughter was an amazing girl, as we see later on. What an incredible character that she had. But as Jephthah saw her, his heart sank because of the vow, the promise, foolish promise that he'd made. There should have been joy, but there was only sadness. I'm sure Jephthah never, ever in a million years dreamed that his daughter would be the first one, the first face that he'd see as he come home. But when he sees her, he is crushed, devastated, because he doesn't understand grace. He does not believe that he can get out of this vow. And the reason why he thinks so daft is because he doesn't know the scriptures. And he doesn't understand that God is a God of grace. I believe that many parents have ruined their children because they did not know the truth of God's word. I believe that maybe many parents have ruined their children because they didn't understand the depth of God's grace. As a result, they may have become rigid and legalistic, and instead of helping their children to blossom in the things of God, they've sometimes spoiled the work that God was doing. Do you know, this girl could have run away, but she didn't. She knew that her father had made a promise to God and needed to keep it. She knew that God had given him victory, a great victory. She had great loyalty to her father, but also I admire the loyalty that she had to God. Father, you've made this vow, and it's a vow between you and God. Therefore, you need to keep that vow. Wow. What an incredible daughter she was. It's interesting that her name's not even mentioned. She's just the daughter of Jephthah. She said, let me just go away to mourn the fact that I will never, ever be able to bear children. You know, as a dad, the reality of that must have come home to him as well, because that meant that he would not have any grandchildren, and his family name would cease from then on because of his foolishness. I think Jephthah's daughter should be honored, shouldn't she? Rightfully so. She was an amazing girl. She revered God. And that she would not allow his father's ridiculous vow to God to remain unpaid. Don't see many boys and girls like that, do you? Her love for her father, her devotion to him, but her love for God was an incredible example. But as we close tonight, I want to point out that there's a very interesting text of Scripture that warns us all to be careful about what we say before God. Matthew 12 and verse 36 and 37. Jesus said these words, "But I tell you that anyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will also be condemned." You know, can I remind you that when we stand before God, and we all will give an account, but when we account to God as believers, we're at the seat of mercy. So we are not rejected because of the things that we've said and done. So be comforted by that. But I do believe that the Scriptures quite clearly teach that there are rewards for those who are faithful and for those who aren't. There will be things that won't be ours because of our... We'll be there. We're not losing our salvation. Don't stone me for that, folks. But there are rewards that are yours in heaven, did you know? That maybe we won't enter into because of the sins of commission and the sins of omission as well. The things that we've done and maybe the things that we've refused to do in our rebellion against God. And maybe, as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here, maybe because of some of the things that we've said. This warning and this passage beholds every one of us to be very, very careful about what we say to God. But what makes this Jephthah story even more tragic is that had he had known God's word, he would have known that God's grace that is available when we do and say stupid, sinful things. If anyone in Israel had accurately known the word of God, they would have known that in Leviticus 27, it says that if you make a vow to God and you do it unadvisedly, then there is a payment that you can make to get yourself out of it. It says there that if the vow is concerning a daughter between the age of 20 and 60 years old, then the vow is redeemable by just 30 shekels. I don't know how old his daughter was. Maybe she was actually only between 5 and 20, because if she was only between 5 and 20, he only had to pay 20 shekels to redeem his daughter and release himself from that vow. Can you see how sad that is? That if he'd have known the word of God, if he'd have known the provision and the grace of God, this incident neither have been recorded in Scripture and wouldn't have happened. Do Do you see the point I'm trying to make here? Do you see the point of maybe what I feel the Spirit of God has allowed to be, this to be continued to record it in Holy Writ? Had someone known God's word, this whole bizarre situation would have ended so differently. Folks, I will always, always, as the Lord is my judge, I will always try to do my best to carefully teach you every word and every book that is found in the Word of God. I will do my very best to accurately expound these books in this Word. And I will stick as close to the doctrine and the theology of Scripture as I can. If I should ever say anything that is not consistent with the Scriptures, you must always stick to the Scriptures, not to me, okay? And do something else as well. If I do go off, come and tell me and correct me, because we are accountable to one another, aren't we? There's no one higher than anybody else. But let me tell you, if you go off, I'll tell you as well. We must always stick to the Bible. But let me also say this in love as well, that regardless of what I've just said, we as individuals are all responsible before God to know His Word and correctly to divide the truth of His Scriptures. There's no excuse. Oh, the pastor thou gavest me, it was his fault, Lord. No. We should all search. We should be like Bereans. You know what it says about Bereans? That they searched diligently the Scriptures to see that these things might be so. There's no excuse. Have I got something else? There. Finally, as we close, some practical lessons. Not knowing all of God's Word is very dangerous. Just maybe knowing a little Scripture here and there is not knowing the full counsel of God. We need to be diligent in knowing all of His Word. When we promise God something, we better take it serious. And if we have not followed through on what we promised, we need to go to Him and appeal to His grace. Do you know He's a gracious God? Have we said that enough today? I don't think we can ever say it enough, can we? He is a gracious God. And fourthly, as we age, we need to stay focused on carefully understanding God's Word so that we don't end up doing and believing in crazy things. Do you know there is only one human sacrifice that ever pleased God? And that is the sacrifice that He makes possible for people through the saving, redeeming love of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this sacrifice that makes it possible for people like us who have thought, who have said, who have done sinful things to find the grace and the forgiveness of God. That's what we're reminded of tonight, aren't we? If we had time, I'm sure we could all go around the room and hear people's stories that prove how vile as sinners we are. There's no getting away from that truth. But the amazing grace of God teaches us that God will give us a way to get out of our vile, sinful condition. Hallelujah. And it is through the sacrifice of Jesus. It's believing in what He has done. It is all found in the real sacrifice of that God-man Jesus. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on Him right now, and you will be saved. And you will have life, real life. But if you have believed on Him and you've done something that makes you guilty before God, then confess it to God. He is faithful and just to forgive. God offers complete forgiveness and complete grace. So do not overlook it. Or sadly, we'll end up as miserable as poor Jephthah. What a sad situation that he found himself in. How it could have been so, so, so different. And how it can be so different for you and I tonight as well.